Good morning and welcome to another episode of TVP Talks. You don't just have me doing all the talking today. I've got my very lovely colleague Matt with me, who is joining with the hosting duties. Hello.
Hello. Glad to be here.
Good. It's so nice to have a partner. I feel like we're the Holly and Phil of podcasts. I love it. But less about us. So today we are both really excited to be chatting to entrepreneur and business coach Irene Moore. And she is here with us now. Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm really good, thanks. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Thank you for being here. So we're massive fans of yours and your work. And it's hard to know where to start, really, because you've got so many strings to your bow. But maybe let's start with your background in sort of handling PR, social media, digital marketing, and how that progressed to you becoming a brand consultant and business coach.
Yes. It's funny because when I think about this, I always think I love answering this question, but it also makes me feel really old.
Well, we don't want to make you feel old.
No, I know. But I do, I think my first sort of foray into PR specifically was all the way back in 2002.
Okay.
And I did a 1-year internship with Revlon at the time. And that's when I really cut my teeth into what it means to specifically work with global beauty brands.
Yeah.
From there, I worked in various different agencies, working across sort of beauty, luxury, lifestyle. And I think where I carved a niche for myself was back then there wasn't sort of beauty bloggers and influencers per se. The influencers were celebrities.
Right.
And where I carved my niche out was really partnering with these brands with celebrities. So I don't know if you guys remember the I Love Girls Aloud lashes.
I actually do.
Do you remember those?
Yes.
That was me. So that was the first time like a celebrity had actually been on pack. So there'd always been celebrities that would endorse brands, but no one had actually put their face on packaging. And was really where I sort of found that brands who wanted to either launch celebrity ranges or celebrities themselves that wanted to launch their beauty ranges, like Dainty Doll and things like that, that's really where I carved out my niche. So I got to work with incredible brands. I helped launch like Sean John Apparel, which is P. Diddy's label into the UK. And I just really carved out my niche in that way. And then I went in-house to work at Bobbi Brown.
Okay.
Handling their PR there. And their big remit was working with makeup artists. And what I found there was that a lot of makeup artists were actually looking online to these girls who were doing videos on YouTube. And so that's really when I started connecting with those girls. And they weren't called bloggers or vloggers or anything there. They were just makeup artists who were doing cool things on YouTube. And so I was doing that for a while, and then I got approached by L'Oreal, who wanted to set up a digital communications, sort of digital PR division across all their big brands. So L'Oreal, Maybelline, Garnier, Essie, Dark and Lovely. And they wanted me to come over and basically set that up. So they knew they should have been working with bloggers and YouTubers, but they didn't really know the how at that point.
And was this before sort of the term influencer marketing even existed?
Yes, that did not exist. It was more bloggers. You know, we call them bloggers and, you know, girls that were literally creating cool things online. So that was my remit, was really to come over and start looking at content in a different way, start integrating PR into content and integrating what we now call influencers into their content. And then a year into that, I got summoned to the CEO's office and was told that they just acquired an incredible makeup brand called NYX, or NYX as a lot of people call it.
Yeah.
And that I had to go to LA and learn everything that there was to know about influencers from the NYX team and then launch it here into the UK and Ireland. And I think that's when everything changed.
That's amazing. I bet that was such an experience.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, it really opened my eyes as to how much and how powerful influencers, you know, could be for a brand. So I launched into the UK and Ireland, and then soon after that launched my consultancy.
And was that on the side, or that was
No, that was when I left and launched my consultancy. That was like nearly 3 years ago now.
Oh, wow.
And since then, I still did a little bit of consulting for L'Oreal, for NYX. And then I launched Kat Von D Beauty into the UK and Ireland. I've done influencer collaborations for people like Dior, Cantu Beauty, for influencers themselves, like Freddie Harrell and her Big Hair No Care range. And it's really just evolved from there. So it's all been very natural.
Yeah, I was going to ask, what kind of what does a brand consultant involve? Mm-hmm. How do you almost start to coach people when they first come to you? How do you advise and kind of run in their business as well?
Yeah, it really depends on what stage they come in at. So obviously there's some brands, like global brands like Dior, who already have a very clear message and look and feel to their brand. So for them, they might just want me to sort of help them localize it. So take something that they're doing on a global level and find the right influencers that are here in the UK to help give them a UK voice. So, you know, we'd work on collaborations in that way. And then I have some other brands, for example, like Cantu Beauty, which is a gorgeous natural hair brand for girls with textured hair. Shout out all my curly girls. but, you know, for them, it's about building a community. It's not about reach or anything like that. It's just building a community of girls that really love, you know, having a brand that champions them and their curly hair. So it depends what stage they're coming in at. Something that's happening a lot recently is that brands are asking me to come in and train their teams, which is something I never ever plan to do. But that's again something that's happening a lot more, where people want to be empowered within the company to connect authentically with influencers and create content.
Definitely. And so what gave you that motivation to become that sort of brand consultant and business coach? Why not stay within that PR sort of line of business?
I think it was, you know, I've been doing this a long time. And I for me it was more, I love the flexibility and the creativity when you're working with you know, press that are open to working with influencers, and when you're working with influencers, it can be so creative. And you know, the real freedom that you get from working on your own and going into brands, I think brands are more open when you're coming in as a specialist.
Definitely.
And so that's really what the motivation was, and I think my eyes were just so opened to what was possible.
And I'm sure as well, like you said, because you'd had that wealth of knowledge, you had grown such an expertise in it, it was probably the perfect decision to then be a
timing.
Consultant. Yeah, timing was everything. Yeah. And have you, because I've looked into sort of the different programs and stuff, so you have a clear passion of empowering female leaders. What made you decide to sort of start mentoring women on things like money and marketing and mindset?
Do you know what the funny thing that goes along with starting a business is? That you get asked to do stuff like this.
Which is super
fun. It's really cool. And you get asked to do a lot of guest speaking, and that becomes a big part of your you know being available and showing up for your customers. So I would just get asked by women who either wanted to start a beauty or wellness or luxury business how to get started, and that just really grew again from demand. So that's really how I started helping women do that. And also a lot of social media experts who wanted to introduce influencer marketing into their offering. So that's really, again, just really naturally sort of
organically
happened.
Yeah.
And then you start to learn the things that come up for them, like the money and the mindset and really believing they can do it. And I just love helping women realize that they can.
Definitely.
Yeah, definitely. I was going to ask, who taught you these kind of valuable life lessons yourself? Is it something that you've learned, or someone kind of passed knowledge on to you? Or
yeah, I learn from everybody. I'm a massive, well, I'm probably on YouTube way more than I should be. But I have done, you know, official training as well. I think especially when it comes to things like, you know, money mindset, it's very, very, it can be quite confronting for some people, really believing that they can leave a job and do something for themselves. So I definitely have done professional training, but a lot of it is through, I like to teach as like learn out loud.
Right.
So I like to teach what I know. I don't really teach anything I don't. So I really just share my knowledge and from a brand consultancy point of view, share what I know is going to work.
Right.
Got it.
So that's really how it comes about.
Yeah. And just kind of going on what you do now. So say I come to your website, what kind of offerings and teachings do you have? Is it...
Yeah.
One.
What would you find on there?
What would you find on there? Well, there's a few ways. There's a few ways that people can work with me. Typically, if they're a global or, you know, a bigger, more established brand, it would be on a one-on-one. As I said, it would either be coming in and developing their strategy for them, connecting them with influencers, connecting them with certain key media. Sometimes they want me to actually deliver it for them as well. So for Kat Von D Beauty, we would actually, you know, handle their PR and their influencer outreach for them. I do less of that now, and now what I'm seeing is becoming more and more popular is the smaller independent brands sort of in beauty, luxury and wellness, who just want that guidance on how to outreach and connect with influencers and press.
Absolutely.
So those are the ways, those are the things that you'll see on the website. lots of free tips and content.
I know, I've seen a lot of your YouTube videos. They're so good. And they're like punchy as well, which I think is really nice. You know, you do like your five tips and things. Mm. I think I was watching your International Women's Day one. But no, it's really good because I think with sort of content nowadays, everything has to be so snappy, as you probably very well know. So I think those videos are really, really good. But touching back on influencer marketing, because obviously it's a massive thing, it's a huge part of your role. You actually use our TBP platform, don't you? You advertise brand opportunities to influencers on behalf of your clients. Is that right? Yeah. So at what point did you realize that influencer marketing was so beneficial to your brands?
I think for me, it has to be when, you know, when I was at L'Oreal and we acquired NYX Cosmetics, because up until then, it was something that we were doing in addition to traditional PR, whereas with NYX, that was the full remit. And we didn't even really do any traditional press, and we didn't even have distribution at the time of me taking on the brand. So we weren't in Boots, we didn't have anything. So
oh, wow.
We were building this brand very organically with influencers, through Instagram, and it was so powerful for when we actually did go to launch to already have a community of girls who were makeup fanatics that would show up to all of our events, and there would be queues around, you know, literally around the block. So that's when I really, really realized that actually this is something really powerful, and layered up with, you know, your advertising and your PR and everything else, it can be a really, really powerful way to launch and grow a brand.
Yeah, I was going to ask, what's your kind of overall view on influencer marketing as a whole? And do you think it's helped your brands kind of grow and succeed so far?
Yes.
Yes. Big yes, thumbs up. It's going to keep growing.
Yeah, my view is this. I think that the way that it's going to be done is going to always evolve. I'm seeing it evolve now already. And I think that brands will now need to be a little bit more creative in terms of their approach. So my view is that it's very powerful, but to look at it as in a way of collaboration and actually genuinely creating content that's going to be interesting to the girls that you're trying to reach or whoever you're trying to reach, rather than using them to just put out an ad.
Absolutely.
So that's sometimes the biggest challenge when you're working with bigger brands. But I definitely feel that it's a powerful tool. And I think that if you really focus on building communities, that's when you're going to see how powerful it is.
Yeah, we actually recently did a piece on the power of content from influencers and user generated content, and sort of harnessing the power of that content and how it's proving to increase things like brand awareness or boost sales and things like that. And we also did a quote saying how, as sort of the middleman, it's really difficult to show to brands that they have to give influencers that bit of creative control. Have you found that difficult when working with both brands and influencers to get that kind of balance?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm lucky because I'm quite bossy.
Love that.
Typically, they just trust. But I think in the beginning, especially when you're working for global brands and they have always done something one way.
Yeah.
It's in the beginning, you have to kind of do a few little small things first and build up that trust, build up, you know, making sure they understand no one's going to die if someone posts something before schedule.
Yeah. And sometimes things like captions and stuff, they can be really funny about it, can't they?
100%. And I think it's also, as I said, it's a collaboration. So they, you know, the influencer knows what's going to work for their audience ultimately. So we don't want them just to say exactly what you're saying on your ad.
Yeah.
So I think it is, that's the dance, I think. So my kind of role is very much, how do I make sure that brand messaging is in there in an authentic way? However, it still feels like the influencer has got complete creative control over their platform, because that's what lands.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's the sweet spot, isn't it? That's what really sells.
Yeah.
How would you almost say, how important is Instagram, do you think, as a whole? And if your kind of clients have found it successful as well, what's your kind of view on it? Do you think it's a good channel to use?
Yeah, I mean, if you're in the beauty and luxury and wellness space, we are all inspired by things that are beautiful. So we like to see it on Instagram. We like to engage. I would definitely say that for any brand, that Instagram should be a place for inspiration, but also a place where you're proactively building your own community and building your list, you know, building a connection where you can talk with your audience offline and not rely on it solely for all of your marketing. Yeah. But it is, of course, it's a really powerful tool. And what I love the most about Instagram is the way that even the smallest little random brands are able to really kill it now.
Yeah.
You know, it's leveled the playing field a bit. So I feel like everyone has to step up a little bit in the way that they're creating content. Definitely. Yeah, for sure. And I love that about Instagram.
Yeah.
I make so many friends through Instagram.
Instagram, it is like its own little community, isn't it? I think people are so much more open as well to chatting to other brands or other influencers or people in general, just because it's through a screen, which sounds ridiculous. But no, it definitely has opened up that communication. What other platforms do you think businesses need to be present on in today's media landscape?
I think they all play different roles. Definitely Instagram is powerful. I think it, depending on your audience and who you're trying to build a community with, Facebook still plays a huge role in terms of building groups and build and nurturing your community. I think it's easier for that if you're slightly, especially if you're targeting a slightly older audience or a conversation that's a little bit more tricky to have around and maybe not as pretty to have.
Yes.
So, you know, for a lot of my wellness clients, they have private groups on things like Facebook because then they can have authentic and honest conversations that don't embarrass anybody. And then I think obviously YouTube is still really powerful from a search perspective. A lot of my business comes through YouTube from people seeing the videos that you mentioned before.
Yeah.
And I think being present on other people's platforms for brands is the most strategic way to navigate YouTube rather than trying to build up a brand channel.
Right.
So I think there's so many, but you know, as I said, the most integral thing is making sure you're driving to some kind of email list and making sure that you're able to connect with these people outside of these platforms, because obviously you don't own those platforms.
No. if they went tomorrow, then what would we do?
Don't even ever say that.
Well, that's the thing though. So what I mean, other than of course the huge influx in social media and digital marketing, what changes have you noticed, say, from being when you were working in doing traditional PR to the landscape it is now? Is there pros and cons? Is there benefits for now or even positives and negatives to starting a business now in this landscape?
That is such a good question. I wouldn't say it's easier because it's a little bit noisier, but there's definitely more opportunity for you to show up. So if you're going to show up for your client, show up for your audience, it's easier to make connections now because of social media. I think traditional PR plays a very important but a very different role. It's much more about that desirability, that credibility. You know, there's a reason why all the YouTubers are on front covers of magazines.
Yeah.
You know, so they know that there's definitely, it sort of takes you up a level. The people that are the senior decision makers, I know from working in brands and in retail, are the people that are still reading, you know, the weekly supplements and the glossy magazines. So it definitely has a different role. It's almost like they're narrating the story rather than breaking the news.
So you don't think traditional PR is going anywhere?
Not for now.
No.
I hope there will always be a Vogue.
So do I.
I would be so sad if that didn't. But I really do believe it's just going to play a slightly different role and almost be the, I guess, the curator rather than the ones that are breaking news.
Right.
Definitely.
And in terms of, for all our listeners out there, if they wanted to hear more and how to kind of generate PR masterclass of yours, where can they go? How do they find you?
Yes, so you can find me either on my website. So it's just irenemoore.com. I put all of my events on there. Anywhere that I'm speaking, there's an events tab, so you can have a look and see that. And then if you are a beauty, wellness, luxury brand, and you're specifically looking for tips on how to get noticed by the media, how to connect with influencers, I have a free masterclass on beautybosses.co, and you can watch that and learn a little bit more about how you can get to work on getting noticed by the media and collaborating with influencers.
And what kind of events have you spoke at, and what kind of things would you cover?
So I get the most common one would be PR.
Yeah.
So even tonight I'm doing a talk for Virgin Startup. So all about how they can get noticed by the media when you're just
fantastic.
Starting up. Because obviously that's a really powerful thing to do that doesn't cost a lot of money.
Yes.
If you can master. I've done talks for Instagram. Last year I did a talk on the changing face of beauty for Instagram's Inside Beauty event, where again it was just educating brands on how to connect and collaborate with influencers. I'm really using Kat Von D Beauty as a case study for that. I've done talks for Twitter Women, just talking about, again, how to, you know, start your business and how to be visible. So lots of different, it really depends, so lots of different things. But typically it's around either, you know, being more visible and growing your brand, or just how to get started.
Amazing. And what would you say, or maybe who has inspired you throughout your journey? Has there been anyone, maybe a mentor or someone that you, maybe it's a YouTube channel that you go to, that's really sort of inspired you and helped you along your way?
Yeah. It's funny because I put out, I know you mentioned it, I put out a video on International Women's Day with sort of the best advice that I'd taken from really high profile women. I mean, obviously people like Oprah, she had to be
there. I mean, love her.
But, you know, I get really inspired by, there's so many incredible online marketers out there. People like Amy Porterfield, who has been played a huge role in my career. And they're almost the influencers in the business world. So most people wouldn't know them. But honestly, in terms of my day-to-day, who is motivating me, I've been really lucky to have great mentors, but it's my clients. These women are so, they're just bossing it. They're out there, they don't know if it's going to work, they've got these amazing ideas, and they keep taking action. So I would say,
in terms of... So that fuel you as well, kind of get you up in the morning.
Massively, because you know, they're showing up for themselves, so I have to meet them, you know, halfway. So that, I would say it's definitely my clients that inspire me, because they come up with the most incredible ideas of how they're going to, you know, launch businesses and, you know, grow their brands. And, you know, they entrust me to help them do that. So I would say that's definitely who keeps me inspired and keeps me motivated.
What would you say the biggest hurdle is for when women or men, when they come to you and they want to start a business? Is it money? Is it fear of failing? Like, because I think that must play a massive role or impact in how they start with you.
Definitely, definitely. I would say the biggest challenge is mindset. It's mindset. It's because all of those other things, whether it's money, fear of failure, what your friends are going to think, putting yourself out there, all of them are intrinsically linked to mindset and how you feel about yourself and how aligned you feel to the business that you're going to start. And I think that's ultimately what it comes down to. That's definitely my number one most popular video, even on my channel, because I think people really are starting to understand that you can put all the strategies together in the world, but if you really don't truly believe in what it is that you're going to do, it's never going to be successful. So I would say that the biggest challenge is really the belief in yourself and asking for help, which is a thing that we don't really do, because when you're working for someone else, you have your job and you have to get on with it. But when you become an entrepreneur, you bring in other people, and that's what helps you be successful.
Yeah, I guess you have to bring in those other people. Otherwise, how would you learn?
There's no IT team.
No, there's no tech team.
Okay, and lastly, what does influence mean to you?
Ooh. We ask our guests this.
You can take it down any avenue that you
want. Yeah, just because I think, I don't know about you, influencer can kind of seem like a bit of a self-proclaimed title. Mm. So it's a bit of a funny one. Like, yeah. What do you think influence means?
Curveball.
Okay, curveball. I know. For me, influence, or I believe that influence really equals impact. I believe that influence right now is, as you said, a term that's being bandied around. But I believe the true influencers are the ones who are really thinking about the messaging that they're putting out and how they want their community to feel after experiencing a piece of content, coming to an event, or, you know, what impact are they going to leave on the world once they leave here? I think that is truly what influence is. And it could be, do you know what, I'm going to go and try that lipstick. Or it could be, I'm going to go and start my business. You know, but I really believe that true influence is thinking about the long-term impact you're going to have rather than an immediate reaction to something. That's what I believe influence is. And I think it's a positive thing.
I like that. It's a good answer. Yeah. Irene, it's been amazing chatting to you. We could chat for hours, but yeah, you are so inspirational, and it's really nice to have you on TPP Talk. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you
for having me. It's been really fun.
Good. That's all for today, but we'll be back with another TPP Talks episode soon. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.